Titus chapter 1 is where we'll be this morning. If you're physically able, I'll ask you to stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. We'll allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church. Titus chapter number 1. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And I want to focus on that this morning, fix our attention in verse number 2, and I want to bring you a message. If you have a bulletin, you have the outline on the back, but I want to bring you a message this morning entitled, He Cannot. He Cannot. Father, help us today and teach us, and we'll thank You and praise You for what You'll do in these next few moments. May You fix our hearts and our thoughts upon Your Word. May we put aside the cares of this world and everything that we maybe even have to do this afternoon or this week. Father, I pray that You'd help us to fix our thoughts upon Your Word and what You desire to say to us this morning. Father, be with our children. Father, use the word from Brother Thatcher and Miss Beverly this morning. And Lord, I pray that it'll be just one more opportunity to have the Word of God placed into their hearts. And Lord, if there would be anyone here today, whether it be a child, a teenager, an adult, that does not know Christ as Savior, Father, I pray that today, before we leave this place this morning, that they will have that settled. And I pray that today that they will come to the knowledge of Christ. Teach us and help us. Strengthen us today, Lord, and we'll thank You and praise You for it. And we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I'd like for us to once again fix our attention upon the truth of which we preached last Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and that is the truth that we must constantly sharpen our message. We must continue to say that which God has already said. We're not going to speak on the subject matter per se from last Sunday morning, but we're going to speak of the truth which undergirds that subject matter. And that truth is simply this: God has spoken and His Word stands forever, never changes. We asked the question last week, was God homophobic or was He holy in Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 19 when He brought punishment upon Sodom and Gomorrah? We know the answer this morning. He was holy because His truth regarding the sin of sodomy is timeless and unchanging. Wednesday night, we spoke of being sharpened in our soundness from 1 Timothy chapter number 1 as the Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy to charge the church at Ephesus that they teach no other doctrine. And so we spoke about being sharpened in our soundness. And the reasons why it is vital to be sharpened in our soundness is because the church needs to be guarded from false teachers, and the church needs to be guided with, foundational truth. The church needs to be guarded from false teachers, and the church needs to be guided in foundational truth. And this morning, we dig even a little bit deeper as to why we must continue to say what God has already said. And by the way, I believe this is the most important truth. The reason we continue to say, or we should continue to say what God has said, is because God cannot lie. Why is it in the year 2021 that even pastors have gotten to the point that they're questioning God's Word? Has He somehow changed? Has His Word somehow become less trustworthy? No, the Bible says He cannot lie. And so this morning, I want us to see here in Titus chapter number 1, and by the way, I believe we'll come back here tonight as well, and I want us to see that we, as Christians, we speak that which the God who cannot lie has already spoken. That's what we are to speak. So, if He cannot, then I can. If He cannot lie, then I can keep saying what He has already said. I don't have to worry about society. I don't have to worry about the culture. I don't have to worry about how things have changed in our nation. I don't worry about what the media thinks. I don't have to worry about what politicians think. I don't have to worry about what my family thinks. The only thing I have to be worried about is what God thinks. I do believe it is amazing today that man is more worried about offending another man than they are worried about offending God. Well, we don't want to offend that individual. And by the way, let's look a little bit ahead, and this is where we'll be tonight. But would you look at verse number 13? The Bible says this witness is true, and that's referring back to verses 10, 11, and 12, which we'll see tonight. Notice what he says, "Wherefore rebuke them sharply." And we live in a day today, if a pastor rebukes someone sharply, then he is brought under pressure to go back and apologize to that individual. Now, I understand sometimes we say things in a wrong tone, but hear me very clear this morning. If we say that which is right, we should never apologize for that. Now, if I say it in a wrong tone and if I don't say it correctly, now, by the way, he says sharply, rebuke them sharply. And boy, we have traded truth for tolerance. And Paul tells Titus, those that are teaching that which is false, rebuke them sharply. And so if he cannot, then I can. If he cannot lie, then I can keep saying what he has already said. I can keep speaking what this book says. I can keep saying it. Hey, mamas and daddies, you can keep telling your kids what this Bible says. You can keep teaching and training your children based upon what this Bible says. You can keep telling your family, hey, that's wrong, that's right, that's wrong, that's right, because the Bible says so. Not because I say so, but because God has already said it and he cannot. Well, I don't know if I believe that today. Pastor, it's the year 2021. Look how things are so different. I don't really know if that truth that was taught 20 years ago, I don't really know if that's still true. Did God say it? If God said it, it's still true. Doesn't matter what I believe about it. Doesn't matter what my flesh has taught me about it. Doesn't matter my opinion. Did God say it? And if God has said it, it's still true. And so, here in Titus 1, let me give you three truths that we find this morning. And they're all about God this morning. He is the God who cannot lie. And the first thing I want us to see there on the back of your bulletin, again, you can take notes. The outline is there on the back. I want us to see, number one, God's absolute character. I want us to see God's absolute character. And that's what we see in verse number 2. It says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." Now, we're not going to spend most of the message today speaking of this, but the primary context is that Paul is speaking about the hope of eternal life. He is speaking about salvation. And he said, look, I know that I'm saved. I know and I'm confident of my faith in Jesus Christ because God cannot lie. And dear friend, this morning, if you're here and if you have placed your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the blood that He shed on the cross, His burial, His resurrection the third day, if you have placed your faith in that for the salvation of your soul, He cannot lie. You're saved. Boy, we doubt so many times, and I understand why we do. Many times we doubt our salvation because of sin. But my salvation is not based upon my sin and what I do. My salvation is based upon the finished work of Christ and what He has already done. He said it. He cannot lie. And the Apostle Paul says, look, in hope, verse 2, of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. What did He do? He promised that eternal hope. He promised that eternal life before the world began. But notice this, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And he said, look, he set this plan up before the world began, but now he has manifested that plan through preaching. And he said, that's what he has made me. He has made me a preacher. But we see, number one, God's absolute character. The word can means able to. It means permitted to. And thus the word cannot means not able to, not permitted to. He cannot lie because his character doesn't permit him to do so. Would you take your Bibles and go just a little bit further back toward the end of the Scriptures? Would you go to Hebrews chapter 6? And we just saw this passage recently. God's absolute character. Two things about His absolute character. First of all, His character is immutable. That means it doesn't change. It never changed. Secondly, His character makes it impossible. Makes it impossible for Him to lie. His absolute character. So I say it again, and this is maybe this is really where we should have begun last week. But because of His character, because of the fact that He cannot lie, then I can believe what He has already said, and I can continue to say what He has already said, no matter the subject matter. Last week we talked about the sin of sodomy and what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah, but it doesn't matter what the subject is. If God has spoken, then I can speak the same thing. You know, God has spoken about money. He's spoken about marriage. He's spoken about family. He's spoken about the church. He's spoken about every area of our lives. And because of that, we can speak confidently. Some people may say, well, that's just your opinion. No, no, no. If God has said it, that's not my opinion. That's God's Word. That's God's absolute character. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 13. The Bible says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. A reference back to Genesis 22, after God had asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, and Abraham obeyed. He was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac, and the Lord said, no, don't do it. And the angel said, look, I know that you fear God because you are getting ready to obey God. You are getting ready to sacrifice your son. And at the end of that chapter, God gives him a blessing. He says, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Again, please understand, in Hebrews, he's trying to get these Jews, these Hebrews, to take that step over the threshold into salvation. They're still held back by Judaism. They're still held back by circumcision and by the law. And we have to keep the law, and we have to be circumcised, and we have to do all this to really be saved. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, no, there's something better. There's a better way. And it's Jesus Christ. The Bible says, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek, being made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God's absolute character, first of all, His character is immutable. His character makes it impossible. And so, dear friend, that's why when the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, I can take that truth to the bank. And I can hang my salvation upon that statement. Why? Because God cannot lie. He cannot. And the promises that He makes, they are absolute and they are part of His character. That's why, and again, we're not going to go here tonight, or excuse me, this morning. We mentioned it a little bit Wednesday night. We might mention a little bit tonight. But in Titus chapter 2, verse number 1, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And so many times we get in our heads that doctrine is just the doctrine of salvation. It's the doctrine of the Bible. It's the doctrine of angels. It's the doctrine of the last times. It's ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church, or eschatology, the doctrine of the last things. And we think that's just the doctrine. And Titus chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." He doesn't talk about any of that. What does he talk about? Talks about how to behave, and more specifically, how to fulfill your roles as men and women. And you know what he said about that? He said, "That's sound doctrine." He said, "That's sound doctrine." But we've got people, even in the church today, that want to throw off everything the Bible says about how to be a man and how to be a woman. People want to, as we spoke about last week, people want to say that Jesus Christ never spoke about homosexuality. Do they not understand that Jesus Christ was right there when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? By the way, that's not a true statement that he never spoke about it. But let me say this, he never spoke of pedophilia either. And I still think he believes that's wrong. See, that's a straw man argument. Because when you do that, you're breaking the Trinity apart when you say Jesus Christ never said anything about sodomy or homosexuality. No, Jesus Christ was very present when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And so what God has said, we can keep saying because of the absoluteness of His character. And so number one, we see God's absolute character. His character is immutable. His character makes it impossible. Look at Titus chapter 1 again with me if you would. Secondly, we see God's authoritative commission. Number one, we see God's absolute character. Number two, we see God's authoritative commission. We read verse number 3. The Bible says, "But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." And he ends the kind of greeting there in verse number 4, that this is to Titus. He's writing this to Titus. And in verse number 5, we're going to find out exactly what he wanted Titus to understand. But secondly, in verse 3, we see God's authoritative commission. Because of His absolute character, we have an authoritative commission. Just as Paul, just like God had given Paul the commission in verse 3, just like Paul, we are committed with precepts. We are committed with the Word, the Bible says, "But hath in due times manifested His Word, which is committed unto me." Now, by the way, it wasn't just committed to Paul, although it was, but it's also committed to us. His authoritative commission. And I say that because His Word has been committed to every single one of us in here this morning. And we're to keep saying everything that God said, exactly the way He said it. Look, we're to keep saying that salvation is by faith, or is by grace through faith. Because that's how a person is saved. They're not saved by works. They're not saved by their baptism. They're not saved by how much money they put in the offering plate this morning. No, they're saved by the grace of God through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sin. It's not the water. It's not our good works that outweighs our bad works. Because we would be in a heap of trouble, wouldn't we? Because our good works never outweigh our bad works. Because our measurement is perfection. And there's only one person that ever met that measurement. That's Jesus Christ. None of us could ever meet it. So, because of His absolute character, He has given us an authoritative commission. He has committed to us His precepts. And dear friend, this morning, that's a big deal. He has committed to us His Word. He's committed to us His precepts. And we are to know them and we are to follow them. And we're to preach them. Not only has He committed to us His precepts, He has commanded us to preach. He has committed. Now, I'm not talking about God has called every single person to be a pastor, to be a missionary, to be an evangelist, and stand behind a pulpit and preach. That's not what I'm speaking of, although that is what Paul was speaking of. He said, God in due times, but hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching. He has made it known. He has proclaimed it. It has been displayed through preaching. We can stay there a long time too. We're not going to do that this morning. But He said, it's been manifested through preaching, which is committed unto me, the which is hearkening back to the Word and also the preaching too. But which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, God's authoritative commission. Just as Paul, we are committed with precepts. And just as Paul, we are commanded to preach. Look at verse 10, if you would. Again, we'll break these verses down tonight. But notice verse 10 in Titus chapter 1. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Because of His absolute character, He has given us an authoritative commission. He's committed us to us His precepts, and He's commanded us to preach. You may not stand behind a pulpit to preach, but you can preach every single day. By the way, if you're in here this morning, you have a wife, you know that... Never mind. Your wife's a better preacher than you are, aren't they? Just kidding. See, I can say that. My wife's not in here right now. He's commanded all of us to preach. And by the way, not preach our opinions, but preach that which He hath already said. We're to speak to our families. We're to speak to our co-workers, our friends. And we're to tell them, not what some man has made up, but what God has already said. Number one, God's absolute character. Number two, God's authoritative commission. By the way, you hear in Titus, look at 2 Timothy, probably just a page or two over. 2 Timothy chapter 4, another familiar passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. He said, look, I'm charging you before God. I'm giving you this commission and this commandment before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty serious, isn't it? They're witnesses to this. What does He tell them to do? Preach the Word. Preach the Word! Be instant, in season, out of season. Hey, when they like it, when they don't like it. Hey! When you want to do it and when you don't want to do it, in season, out of season, when you like doing it, when you don't like doing it, when you feel like doing it, when you don't feel like doing it, when the people accept it, when the people don't accept it, in season, out of season, what does He say? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Well, we can't miss that, can we? Preacher of God's Word has to be long suffering. You may go to your family and speak the Word time and time and time again. Just be long-suffering. Just keep doing it. Somewhere down the road, it'll click. Long-suffering and doctrine. Exhort with all long-suffering and most importantly, doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. There's going to come a time they don't want to hear that sodomy's wrong. They don't want to hear that same gender marriage is wrong. They're not going to want to hear that abortion is wrong. They're not going to want to hear that adultery is wrong. They're not going to want to hear that fornication is wrong. They're not going to want to hear that gossip is wrong. They're not going to want to hear what the Bible says. They're not going to want to hear that. They're not going to want to hear that the husband ought to love his wife the way that Christ loved the church. They're not going to want to hear that the wife is to be submissive to her husband the way the church is to be submissive to Christ. Because we get this idea that, hey, if I'm submissive to my husband, that means I'm a doormat. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. And that's what, and boy, the devil is crafty, isn't he? Oh, if I can get these ladies to think that being submissive is just being a doormat, I'll get them to rebel against God's Word. By the way, they're not rebelling against their husband, they're rebelling against God's Word. And if I can get husbands to think that they can never love their wives the way Christ loved the church, then I'll get him to be less of a husband than he needs to be. The Bible says, I am. And if I can get children to think that their mom and dad are their biggest enemies instead of their biggest supporters, the ones that love them the most, then I'll pull them away from that Ephesians 6:1 command, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The absolute character gives us an authoritative commission. Which leads me to number three. God's absolute character. Number two, God's authoritative commission. Before I give you number three, let me read a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 13, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, he says, hold fast. Hold fast, 2 Timothy 1:13, the form of sound words. Again, we'll speak more about this tonight, but that word sound, it means healthy, it means complete, it means without error, it means without flaw or defect. We look at a car and we kick the tires, don't we? To see if it's sound. And we ought to take the Word of God and let it kick our lives and see how sound we are. And Paul tells Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. God's authoritative commission. We are committed with precepts. We are commanded to preach that which God hath already said. And boy, we make justifications and we make caveats. And let me say this morning. Just because something works out doesn't mean it's right and doesn't mean it's in line with God's Word. Well, I didn't do what God's Word said. I lived this way and everything turned out okay. By the way, first of all, that's not a true statement. But even if it were, just because you feel like and perceive that everything has worked out fine for you, even though you didn't follow God's Word, that doesn't negate God's Word. Never. That doesn't negate the truth of God's Word. God help us that we will simply keep... Hey, when someone comes and asks us a question for advice, do we give them our opinion or do we give them God's Word? Better give them God's Word. Because our opinion is flawed with our flesh. And we better filter. We may have an opinion, but we better filter that opinion through God's Word. Because it's God's Word that's right. Why? Because He cannot what? He cannot lie. Number three. Number one, God's absolute character. Number two, God's authoritative commission. Number three, God's appointed cause. C-A-U-S-E. Notice verse number five. In Titus chapter 1. Number 3, God's appointed cause. Verse number 5, For this cause left I thee in Crete. Paul's telling Titus, he gives him the greeting in verses 1 through 4. He says, look, we have a God who has an absolute character. We have been given an authoritative commission. And you have an appointed cause, Titus. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Number three, God's appointed cause. two things real quickly. Titus was to order, and Titus was to ordain. Titus was to order, and Titus was to ordain. He was to set in order. And set in order, it means to set right that which is defective. And what I'm saying this morning, and again, we'll say it more tonight, but what I'm saying is there are many things in our churches and in our nation that are wanting. And by the way, there are probably some things in our church that are wanting that need to be set in order. But there are so many things that are wanting, that are lacking, that need to be set in order in our families, in our churches, in our nation. And how do we fix that? How do we set it in order? We say what God has said. We just keep saying what God has said. Why? Because God can't lie. And if God can't lie, if I'll keep saying and keep doing what God has said, it's going to work. God's Word works. Now, sometimes we say, well, I tried that and it doesn't work. And we tried it for like a week. Man, I dieted for a week. I didn't lose a single pound. Yeah, because it takes months. It takes a week to put it all on. It takes a year to get it all off, doesn't it? Feels that way. And so, well, I tried that. I tried what God's Word says about my family and about coming to church and about being faithful and about loving my wife and about tithing. I tried it, and it doesn't work. Try it a little bit longer. Try it for years instead of a week. Try it for week after week after week, month after month after month, year after year after year instead of just a week. His Word works because He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Well, that's just an old antiquated book. It's the book. It's the words of God Almighty. And He cannot lie. Well, I don't believe that part is for the year 2021. If He said it, it's still true. Now, I understand there are things in the Word. For example, the dietary laws in the Old Testament. God did away with those in the New Testament. I understand that. But He made it very clear that He did away with it. Made it very clear that we're not under the dietary laws. By the way, I think the dietary laws that He gave, I think if we abide by them, I think it's good for us. Because God is God. And He gave His people a diet for a reason. Because it was good for their health. But that is very clear that He did away with that in the New Testament. And there are times when God is very clear about something that is different in the New Testament than it was in the Old Testament. But dear friend, if He hasn't made that caveat, then He said it, we ought still do it. Number one, God's absolute character. Number two, God's authoritative commission. Number three, God's appointed cause. Titus was to order. He was to set in order. By the way, doctors use that term, don't they? When it comes to broken limbs, what do? They set it, don't they? They set it in order. What was wanting, what was lacking in the churches in Crete? Leadership, verses 5 through 9. False teachers needed to be addressed, verses 10 through 16. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, sound doctrine in relation to the roles of men and women. Verses 11 through 15 of chapter 2, true grace. Verses 1 through 9 of Titus chapter 3, he spoke about relationships with the unsaved. Verses 12 through 15 of chapter 2, he speaks about the glorious appearing, the blessed hope. He was to order. And he was to ordain. Who was he to ordain? Other preachers, other pastors. But can I apply it to us this morning? Can I submit something to us this morning? That word ordained means to set apart. Verses 6 through 9 of chapter 1, he gives a list of qualifications for those elders, those pastors, those bishops that were to be ordained in those different cities. He was to set apart men who were blameless, verse number 6 says. Not perfect, not sinlessly perfect, but blameless. A testimony that could stand the test. A testimony that nothing could stick to, nothing could grab hold of. And those were the men that he was to ordain. And can I submit to us this morning that when we continue to say that which God has already said, it will pave the way for us to set apart the next generation to preach and to pastor and to guide and to guard. They may not be actual preachers that stand behind a pulpit, but they'll be men in their homes that will preach and pastor, and they will guide and they will guard their homes. He says, Titus, I need you to set some things in order. I need you to ordain some men who are blameless in their testimony. And if we'll keep saying what God has already said, because He cannot lie, we will have some young men and some young women down the road. We'll have some young adults and some young couples who will take up the torch and carry on what is going on in this place. We will have some people who will set things in order and ordain the next generation. Dear friend, dear church family, if God has said it, He cannot lie. And if He cannot, then I can. If He cannot lie, that means I can keep saying exactly what He has already said. And by the way, not only I can, but I should. I am commanded to do so because He has committed precepts and He's commanded me to preach. And I'm double. I wish I could transfer the urgency of that truth to all of us this morning. Our nation is dying right before us. And it's very simply because we're not saying what God said. We're saying what the politicians say. We're saying what the media says. We're listening to every voice that comes into our ear gate except the voice of God. And it's killing our families. It's killing our churches. And thus, look, our nation isn't killing our churches. Our churches are killing our nation. No, Pastor! It's the sodomites, it's the abortionists that are killing our nation. No. It's us who aren't saying what God has already said. It's us who aren't helping those abortionists to see that what they're doing is wrong. And by the way, they may not actually see it, but it's us not standing up against a society as a whole that wants to condone those activities. If a person, I said this last week, if a person wants to individually sin in their lives, they're going to pay the consequences for that. But when a nation begins to accept that sin, the nation is going to feel the consequences of that. And our nation has begun to accept those things, and I believe because we, for some time now, haven't been saying what God has said because we want to be accepted, we don't want to be rejected, we want to appear tolerant, we want to be accepted in our community, and I want to be accepted too, but not at the expense of truth. Not at the expense of truth. Because if you're accepted and you have no truth, then you're nothing. You've lost your identifying mark. And the identifying mark of the church is truth. What does Paul say in 1 Timothy 3? What is the church? Somebody said it. Pillar and ground of the truth. That is our identifying mark. And if we let that go, we have no identifying mark. We just become just like everybody else. We just get wrapped up in the mass with nothing to identify us. He cannot. He cannot. So I can. Father, thank you for your time this morning. Father, thank you most importantly for your word. And Father, help us, no matter what the subject matter is, whether it's something going on in our family, whether it's something going on in our church, whether it's something going on in our nation. Father, if you have said it, then it's still true, and we ought to keep saying it as well. And God, I know I'm preaching to individuals who, for the most part, I believe, absolutely agree with me. But Father, the test comes when we walk out these doors and we get together with family, we get around coworkers, we get around people in our community that say one thing, that say something that is in opposition to your word. And Father, the test will come as to whether we will speak that which you have said. Whether we will stand up and push back against heresy and against false teaching and against a false narrative, and we will say that which you have already said. Whether it's about salvation, whether it's about finances, whether it's about the family, whether it's about marriage, whether it's about the sanctity of life, Father, whatever the subject matter is, whether it's about our gender, our sex, Father, may we just keep saying what you have said. God, give us the courage and the boldness to do so. Father, I don't know if you've worked in hearts this morning. I believe you have. And Father, I pray that if your Holy Spirit has worked in hearts, I pray that we will move during the invitation. Maybe it'll just be a stepping out and bowing of the knee and bowing of the head and just praying. Father, there may be someone here today who needs to be saved, who does not have that hope of eternal life because they've never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. In simple faith and repentance, they've never come to Christ. Father, today I pray that they would. Help us, Lord, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you're physically able, if you'll stand with me this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Let me ask this real quickly, and then Miss Jo will begin to play. And dear friend, if you need to come and just kneel and bow around this platform or one of these front pews, or maybe just in the aisle, or maybe right where you're at, I'd encourage you to do so. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. I'd encourage you to come. But let me ask two questions. I want to ask the first question to believers. Those of you who in your heart you will say, I know without a doubt that I'm saved. I don't have any question about it. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you would say with a raised hand, you say, Pastor, just pray for me. I just want to keep saying what God has said. I don't want to allow society or culture or family or pressure or whatever the case would be to keep me from saying what I need to say. There's a hand right there already. How many more of the raised hands say, Pastor, I just want to keep saying what God has already said. Nothing new, just what He's already said. Thank you. You can put those hands down. Anybody else? Thank you for those. There's more. There's another. I see. Anybody else with a raised hand? You say, Pastor, I just, it's not that I'm not saying it. I just want to commit to the Lord this morning. I just want to keep saying what God has already said. Anybody else with a raised hand? All right, second question. Would there be anybody this morning, man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, young person, you'd say, Pastor, I'm really not sure that I have that eternal hope, that hope of eternal life the way the Apostle Paul had it. I'm not sure, Pastor, if I'm saved or not. And I'd sure like to know that today before I leave. And Pastor, I'd like for you to pray for me this morning. How many of you with a raised hand, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I see that. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else with a raised hand, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved this morning. I'm not sure that if death were to take me today, that heaven would be my home, that I would be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody else with a raised hand, you say, Pastor, pray for me today. Anybody else? All right, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you just raised your hand about the matter of salvation, would you look at me? Would you look at me? You want to settle that today? You want to get that taken care of today? All right, you can bow your head again. Listen, when we pray, when Miss Jo begins to play, boy, I'd encourage you to come. Get that settled today. Believers, many of you raised hands and say, I want to keep saying what God has said. Commit that to the Lord this day. Would you come? Would you pray? Miss Jo's playing. If you need to come, come. Believers, come. You need to be saved? Come. Need to get that settled today? Come. We're not going to embarrass you. Not going to drag you out of your pew for sure. But if you need to come, come. I just want to keep saying what God has already said. Paul told Titus, he said, God has committed a word to us. He's commanded us to preach. It's been manifested by preaching. Titus, for this cause left I thee in Crete. And I say to your church family, for this cause, God has us here at this moment in time. And that cause is to order, is to set in order those things that are wanting, maybe in our families, maybe in our communities, maybe in our places of work. And it's to ordain. That word ordain means to set apart. We're not necessarily ordaining ministers. That's what the church does. But we're setting apart another generation to go forth and to keep saying what God has already said. Hey, if we think things are difficult now and things are going crazy right now in our world, what about our children's generation? Boy, they're going to need a foundation. And that foundation is God and His Word. He cannot lie. And if His Word is true, and it is, then I can keep saying what He has already said. And we need to constantly be sharpened in our soundness, sound doctrine. We need to constantly be sharpened in our message that we're just saying what God has already said. Look this way if you would. Thank you so much for your attention today. We're going to pray and be dismissed. Choir, be back at 4:45. 4:45, right? Not 4:30 yet. That'll be in a little while. 4:45 tonight and 6 o'clock right here for the service. And we'll look forward to that tonight. Hope you have a wonderful afternoon, restful afternoon. And let's see. Brother Ted, would you pray for us, dismiss us? Look forward to seeing everyone back tonight.